Sudan's civil war has entered a new horrific phase. The paramilitary Rapid Support Forces have gone on a killing rampage after taking over the key city of El Fasher in western Darfur after over a year and a half of siege. Hundreds of thousands have fled to neighboring Tooele, escaping famine and mass executions. Nick Schifrin has this report, but a warning. Images and accounts in this story are disturbing.
This week, the people of El Fasher, beaten and threatened, attacked and hunted, fled for their lives from a murderous militia that films itself unleashing ferocious violence. A fighter shows off his work. "We've burned them," he says. "We've burned them." They show off their horror and document their own war crimes with videos too graphic to show. The paramilitary Rapid Support Forces turned an Al-Fashir convoy trying to escape into a killing field, a ditch, into a mass grave, and a home for healing into a death trap. The UN and international humanitarian groups accused the RSF of entering Al-Fashir's Saudi maternity hospital and killing everyone inside. At least 450 people are dead. Survivor Fatma Abdul Rahman tries to smile, but is burdened by unimaginable loss and trauma.
Shelling killed my daughter, injured my other daughter's eye, and paralyzed my son. I was hit by shelling. My body is full of wounds.
El Fasher was the last holdout in Darfur of the Sudanese armed forces, which has fought the RSF in a brutal three-year civil war. Sudanese cities have become battlegrounds. Both sides are accused of war crimes. But in Darfur, the RSF is accused of genocide. The rebels descend from government-backed Janjaweed militias that, in the 2000s, brutally crushed an uprising and killed hundreds of thousands of non-Arabs. Then, too, the U.S. labeled their actions genocide. For the last 18 months, the RSF surrounded El Fasher, forcing residents to starve. It was a famine inside a siege that became a slaughter. Many fled here to Tooele, the closest city to El Fasher. Ikrem Abdelhamed's daughter and son-in-law were both killed, and so she is now raising her two-month-old grandson with almost no food. For 2 weeks, she's fed him only moldy grain and rehydration salts, surrounded by a family that is shocked and shattered, as she told a local journalist.
"We came running. They were chasing us, firing rockets over our heads. They took the men out and lined them up, and they shot them in front of us. They lined them up and shot them in the street and left them."
Another man fled alongside 200 people. Only 4 survived, as he told the UN's Population Fund anonymously.
"My head was on the ground, and I could see to my right 2 women, my neighbors, lying dead, blood flowing from their heads. Then the RSF got into their vehicles and started running us over. After they left, those of us who survived continued walking. Another RSF group caught us and demanded a $2,800 ransom from each of us. Only 4 of us managed to pay. The rest were killed. They killed children, the elderly, and women."
Inside El Fasher, the RSF left behind pools of blood large enough to be seen from space. Massacres across the city, as documented by Yale's Humanitarian Research Lab. And the killing was targeted. The RSF murdered activist and former lawmaker Saham Hassan Hasaballa, the youngest person ever elected to Sudan's parliament, back in her hometown of El Fasher, helping the hungry. And Mohammed Al-Duda, who was the spokesperson for the nearby Zamzam refugee camp, he filmed these scenes of a people facing famine.
"Right now we are in acute starving and acute hunger."
He was murdered this week for transmitting the truth.
"It's some kind of blind violence. It's not only about taking the city, but it really looks now like some kind of revenge."
Sylvain Penico is the project coordinator in Tooele for Doctors Without Borders. He and MSF doctors are treating a population that's fled to Tooele after being targeted for their ethnicity.
"Civilians are being massively targeted. They are not so-called collateral damages, but they are being targeted as people living in Fashir and people who dare to resist. Women are on an extreme level of pain, extremely exposed to sexual violence.
And in Tawila, children arrive on the verge of starvation, and some of them orphaned.
Are children that are seeing probably their parents die under their very eyes. So, yeah, this war, as anyway, is quite dirty and will have consequences for years and years. That's for sure.
International aid organizations have been warning about an attack in Al-Fashir for more than a year and say its residents were let down by the international community. For more, I turn to Anmar Homeida, the executive director of the Sudanese American Physicians Association, or SAPA, which is still operating in Tawila near Al-Fashir. Dr. Anmar, thanks very much. Welcome to the NewsHour. As I just said, your organization is still operating in Tawila, and you were operating just until this week in Al-Fashir itself. Do you know what's happened to your teams there?
It's really a devastating amount of violence that happened against people, against civilians, against women and children, against even like humanitarian actors and medical providers. Currently, we have them in our like guest house in Tawila. The amount of killing, specifically against like humanitarian actors and medical providers, is quite like painful for all of us to hear.
And what is the state of people who have fled Al-Fashir to arrive in Tawila?
Most of them are women and children. They don't have like any place to go to. Right now, the shelters are very limited. Even like the basic like dignifying services, they are not able to get it. Adding to that, like the different kind of trauma. And the most sad part right now, they don't even know the situation of whom they left behind, you know, inside Al-Fashir yet.
As I mentioned in the package, Al-Fashir was the last stronghold of the Sudanese Armed Forces, which, of course, is the organization running the country that's been fighting the RSF. What is the impact of that on Darfur and, in fact, all of Sudan?
This war started in the center of the capital of Sudan, is Khartoum, which left like most of the healthcare system like destroyed. More than 14 million people have been like displaced. Adding to that, also like more than 25 million people like on the like of the verge of food insecurity. So the disastrous consequences of this war are quite like heinous, but Darfur specifically like suffered more because of the continuous complex situation that is currently happening there since like the early 2000s. So the basic like infrastructure fully destroyed, including the access to safe like, you know, shelter, water, basic like health needs, specifically for women and children. It's kind of like disastrous. Yet the local actors are still trying to access to food, basic nutrition services, and of course, you know, secured like healthcare interventions and safe water and shelter.
Dr. Anmar Homeida, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.